It is not for your sake, people of Israel, that I am going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned. The word profaned appears three times in this scripture, which you have profaned among the nations where you have gone. I will show the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name you have profaned among them. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the sovereign Lord, when I am proved holy through you before their eyes. That's what the Israelites were supposed to be doing, and that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be proving God holy. Now, you might wonder, what it means that the Israelites profaned God's name. Well, every nation they went into, the name of God was profaned because the people in the other nations said, oh, look at this. Look at this great, faithful God. This is how he treats his people? This is their God? This is how he treats his people? He casts them out into, away from their homeland? That was a cause of dishonor to God when the other nations said, well, your God doesn't take care of you. Your God doesn't care about you. God protects his own glory. Isaiah 42:8. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. Mark Ballinger sums it up pretty well. Mark Ballinger is an author who graduated from Liberty Baptist Theological Seminary with a master's degree in pastoral counseling. This is what he had to say about God's glory. God made people out of a desire to glorify himself. If it didn't glorify God to make us, to save us, to love us, he wouldn't have done it. God never puts anything above himself. The fact that God made and commands all living creatures to worship him is the very evidence he alone is God. God putting himself first is the greatest testament to God truly being God. If he were not absolutely committed to his own adoration, this would point to the fallacy of his claims that he alone deserves our worship. If he placed anything above himself, he would be breaking his own first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. So why do you think God talks so much about his own glory? People have been offended by this and mistakenly abandoned God because they think he is an egomaniac, always stressing how great he is. If one of our fellow humans always talked about himself and how great he himself was, we would not take that person seriously. God's continually talking about his own glory isn't easy for us to understand, because we don't like to see people take that attitude about themselves, and we correlate how we feel about people to how we feel about God. People and God are not the same. We were created in his image, but we are not God. I wish the Bible gave us an easy answer. If you can find in the Bible a statement from God in which he says, "This is the reason that everything always has to be about my glory," let me know. So why does God want us to understand what his glory is? I've got a number of scriptures here, so I hope you'll bear with me. Second Corinthians 3:18. Understanding God's glory changes us into more accurate image bearers. "And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image." That is what we are supposed to be doing every day of our life. We're supposed to be being transformed into God's image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. If we don't understand God's glory, we are not going to be transformed into his image. Romans 3:23, "We know we are sinners and that the glory of God is perfection." "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And if we didn't know what the glory of God was, we wouldn't know that we are sinners. Hello. First Corinthians 10:31. "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God." We have to know what God's glory is. We have to understand it and appreciate it. If we understand God's glory, it can give us a higher, more focused, more meaningful, more permanent, and more positive purpose in life. First Chronicles 16:24. God revealed his glory so that we could declare it. How would we be able to declare it if we didn't know what it was? Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. And we don't always have to use words. Habakkuk 2:14. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. God wants us to be knowledgeable people. If we don't have knowledge of God's glory, we will not be able to appreciate it and to strive to become better image bearers of God and to reveal God's glory to our fellow people. Isaiah 6:3. God wanted us to see the connection between holiness and glory. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." There's a connection there between holiness and glory. Romans 11:36. For everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. All glory to him forever. And that scripture gives us an attitude of gratitude. Everything comes from him and exists by his power. And from Jeremiah, this is what the Lord says, "Let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches, but let the one who boasts about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am Lord, who exercises kindness, justice, righteousness on earth. For in these I delight." God delights in that. God exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. Well, how does he do that? Do you think we play a part in that? He exercises or practices kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. What is our part in that? If we in the church are never kind to anybody, is God's kindness going to be revealed here? If we in the church don't promote justice, will there be justice on earth? And if we in the church are never concerned about doing right, will there be righteousness on earth? There is an additional thought on our righteousness on earth. What we do is important, but our true righteousness is having faith in Jesus Christ. That's our true righteousness. It isn't what we do or don't do. I want to just say something about the word justice. What do you think of when you think of the word justice? I think many people think they should get what they deserve. Well, I say to you today that if Jesus had called 10,000 angels, we would have gotten what we deserved. In this particular passage, justice refers to treating people with fairness and equality. God loved fairness. He loved it, and he delighted in it. Now, there will come a time when justice will mean something different. There will come a time when those of us who have rebelled and committed treason against God for our entire lives will face a justice that is, in fact, a punishment. But even then, even the punishment, if you look in the book of Ezekiel, in the book of Ezekiel, God says, I do not delight in the destruction of the wicked. And here is one last reason God emphasizes his own glory. God knows he is the only aspect of our lives that is permanent. He wants us to place our greatest value on him so that we can have a joy that will never be taken away. Valuing anything else above God will always eventually result in disappointment. Let us pray. Our Father, thank you for showing us your glory. It is only in showing, only in having seen your glory, that we are able to reveal your glory to the people around us. Assist us every day in revealing your glory. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I guess we have one last song.